Amen. Before we go to prayer, actually, I had a sermon called The Third Pull, and it was on the third pull. And I just had so much information that I had to put it off till next week, because this morning I want to talk about the new Pope and his Antichrist deception. And there was so much information that I actually have 25 pages, but I actually had to put the other into next week, which would be about 41 pages. So I think I'm going to have to do another sermon on that too. So anyway, so we got a lot of information coming. But let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you have been with us and have been keeping us, Lord, in this time, this great hour of it's a great joy to know that it's all coming to an end. And yet we feel compassion for those who don't have this revelation and don't have this relationship with you. So Father, we just ask that you would somehow show them tender mercies. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to wish everyone that's a mother in here, Happy Mother's Day. And for you fathers, you know, your day's coming, so we'll wish you that when we get there. But so we're looking at the new Pope and his Antichrist deception. And from Satan's Eden, Brother Brown said, now, he brought forth this great Eden that they now live in, a church world's Eden. They're all uniting together now at the great ecumenical council and going to have the world church, all coming under one head where Satan will be thrown just exactly. And the last call is going out to catch the bride before she gets into that. For once in that, she's took the mark of the beast and she's doomed. She'll never come out of it. That's the reason it says, come out of it, come out from amongst them, my people, before it goes into him. See, come out from among them and be separated. So that's kind of our introductory, that we're coming to a time. There's going to be a forcing of a union. And we're going to watch it as it comes to pass. Hopefully not too soon, maybe 2 months or maybe, I hope this year, but, you know, we don't know. But from question and answers, Brother Brown said, this is the third pull and is speaking of the word. Now, there's coming a time in this nation to where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before, which was pagan Rome, when it became papal Rome, see? That this nation will do it. So you've got to have a marrying of the church and this nation. This nation has never been married to the church. In fact, the early founding fathers said, if you're Catholic, you can't even vote, okay? So they were very definitive as to Catholicism was a pagan religion, and we didn't want anything to do with it. But now, look, it's everywhere. Half the cabinet is Catholic. So from Revelation 13, it plainly explains it. And the elect, that's what Brother Brown says, and the elect can see this. They are aware that it is happening right now. And he says, and the Lamb came up out of the earth. So he's talking about that beast that came out of the earth, the USA. The other beast came up out of the water, which is thickness and multitudes of people. That's your Catholic Church. Now this Lamb came up where there was no people. A lamb represents the Lamb of God. And remember, it spoke like a lamb. It was a lamb. And then after a while, it received power and spoke like a dragon and exercised all the power the dragon had before him. And the dragon is Rome always. So you don't. Don't you see Romanism or Roman denomination, a marked Protestant denomination, an image unto the beast, making a power that'll force all Protestants like a union. You'll have to be in this council of churches or you won't be able to have fellowship. Well, it's practically that way now. You can't go to church and preach unless you have a fellowship card or some identification. Now, on persons like ourselves, we're going to be cut out of that altogether. In other words, we're going to be cancel cultured, okay? Cut out means cancel culture, boycott. That's exactly because they won't be able to do it. So there is going to come a time and where Brother Bram talks about churches like ours will be shut down, okay? So we won't have access to having church in a building, but we can still meet from home to home and like the early church. So I don't know if the bride will see that, but I know the churches will, okay? It's a tightening, and when that time comes and the press comes to a place to where you're pressed out, then watch. I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes, watch the third pole then. As you can see, some of these notes are from my sermon on the third pole, but I did want to change the title because otherwise we're going to have three of them on the third pole, but anyway, so it is absolutely to the totally loss. It is absolutely to the totally loss, but it will be for the bride, all right, and the church. Now, we're closer than it seems to be. I don't know when but it's real, real close, okay? So just because he says that it will be for the bride, it doesn't mean it's hers to use it herself. He does it because it's his third pole, and he will use it for the bride. Now, I may be building a platform for somebody else to step on. I may be taken before that time, which he was. I don't know, and that time may be this coming week that the Holy Spirit will come down and bring Jesus Christ Jesus. We may come to this week, or he may come yet tonight. I don't know when he will come, and that's why I say I wish it will be in the next couple of months, because next couple of months, we still have 2 months more spring. And he says it's going to be in the springtime. So I'm looking for it this spring. And you should too, because I think we're all unpacked by now. And we're ready to make our trip. So anyway, but he says, I believe that we are so close that I would never die with old age. Yet at 54 years old, I'll never die with old age until he's here. See, unless I'm shot, killed or something or other, some way killed. Just old age wouldn't kill me until he's come, and believe that. And I want to say this. I never said this before, but according to Scripture, according to what he said 30 years ago, 33 years ago on the river down there, 1933 rather, what he said, everything has happened just exactly. Remember, we covered the Scriptures. There's 23 Scriptures that show the parousia. And we showed the signs and events of those scriptures, okay, of the word parousia. And I'm not talking about other things like the new pope and this and that. I'm just talking about that's associated in scripture with the parousia. And there's 86 events, and 82 of them have already taken place, all right? Now, things that have taken place that are outside those scriptures that talk about the parousia, we have like the new pope and different things. Well, there's a lot more, okay? But there's 82 of the 86 events have already taken place. Okay. I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. I just like to stop there because Brother Branham's been gone for 60 years. None of us were in the message 60 years ago. Some of us aren't even 60 years old. Some of us are just over 60 and some even older than that. But he didn't introduce me. But his message that he left did, okay? And I'm thankful for that message. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is the message to forerun the second coming. Now, I was talking to Brother James last night, and some places Brother Bram says, so will, he says, he quotes the angel saying, so will you. In other places, he says, so will your ministry. And so other places, he says, so will your message. Well, all of them really refer to what God is doing in this message, because there wouldn't be a message if he hadn't sent us this prophet. I don't believe he would have chose someone else. He was ordained before the foundations of the world to do exactly what he did. You were ordained to hear it exactly as you've heard it. You were ordained to be called out, separated, and sanctified by this word, okay? And that's what the main thing is. This message has prepared us for the second coming of the Lord. And John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. See? So it paralleled it in every way, and I know it will. The message will go on. Okay? And it has. Now, Brother Bram told us just to stand, just like Paul did. He said, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you have seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. See, I know I know now I must continue in evangelism. Just as it was commissioned first, I must continue on. Therefore, you've had the word, and you know what to look for and how to stand. Can we all agree on that? All right. And I would like to add, we have known what to look for, and we have seen the fulfillment of the following quote. For some of us have waited for 50 years to see this quote fulfilled, and we did it this week. In fact, just last week we had mentioned it, and I couldn't remember the man's name at the time, but we did put it in the PDF when it was posted after the sermon. Say, anyway, and so from the Acts of the Prophet, or Acts of the Holy Spirit, Brother Branham said, I believe one of these glorious days, are we living in a glorious time? We're seeing things that Paul and others had never seen. When this united confederation of churches goes together and the new pope is brought out of the United States and put over there according to the to prophecy, then they'll form an image. Notice, then, all right? So it's after this guy's been elected, then they'll form an image like unto the beast. So that's the next piece in the puzzle is what they're going to do. And I tell you, the true church of God will be drove together. Like I said last week, don't be fussing with people over the doctrine. If they don't understand it, just let them alone. Just love them anyway, because somehow, some way, if they're God's elect, they will see. If they're not meant for it, then you're causing a division. You're causing strife between you and them. Brother Branham didn't go for that at all. He said, draw the circle bigger. All right. Then they'll form an image like unto the beast. And I tell you, the true church of God will be drove together. And we have seen this week, the fulfillment from the headlines of the newspaper. It said, a first pope, Cardinal Robert Prevost, chosen as successor to Francis. Now, you can go anywhere on the internet or, if you've got a television, I don't think you do, but if you do, you're going to see it plastered everywhere. The new pope from the USA, the new pope from the USA. It's everybody knows it. Now, if they were smart, they would also look and say, who spoke about this? And they would say, oh, William Branham said it's going to happen. All right? So then what else did William Branham teach us? And then they would search the message out, and this may be the last call. I don't know. It says a U.S. bishop thought it was unlikely that Catholic cardinals would break with more than two centuries of precedent to pick a pope from the States, but it has happened. Now, I'd like to say this. How did Kamala Harris, how was she selected, or was she elected? No. How was she selected to become a vice presidential to a How was she selected as vice president? Just based on race, okay? How was she selected to become president? That's right, she was selected. All right, in other words, somebody chose her. Well, this man who has become pope, he wasn't ordained a cardinal. You would think mostly that, at least he'd be a cardinal for 10 years or more. He was selected as a cardinal September 30th, 2023, 18 months ago. So 19 months ago, he was not even a cardinal. So someone handpicked him, which was Francis, to become his successor, just like Kamala was handpicked to become Joe Biden's successor, which, by the grace of God, it didn't happen. So we're looking at the same thing that happened in America. They tried it with the Catholic Church, and it worked for the Catholic Church. From Christianity versus Idolatry, Brother Branham said, Pope Leo the Great, he reigned in from 440 until 461, and he thought he was exactly doing what was right. But there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof is the way of death. Come into the church, and before him was Victor, and he was a rat too, which means also. So both Victor and Leo were rats, all right? And he come in there, and how he put the Christians to death and everything. So this Leo put Christians to death. So this new pope is named Leo. And the pope who started putting Christians to death was named Leo. Now, the name Leo refers to the lion. You know, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And it's also, it speaks of the second coming. So you say in your mind, well, wait a minute. Leo is associated with killing and death. And Leo, the lion, is what is that associated with? What happens when the second coming takes place and we're taken up with the Lord? Killing and death. The lion is what? A stalker? He's the greatest hunter in Africa. He is a killer. God, the supreme judge, has come to kill, abolish all unrighteousness. That was a revelation that struck me hard last night. So this pope is known as Leo, and he is from the Augustinian order, named after Augustine of Hippo, who began the church practice and doctrine of killing Christians as heretics. That began the riding of the red horse that went forth. Remember, he up till that time, you had Paul, Irenaeus, and Martin, who were three messengers of the church. And up till that time, Rome rode on a virtuous white horse. Looked like a genuine thing, but it was a bluff because it had a bow but no arrows, okay? So from the Christianity versus Adultery, Brother Branham said, Pope Leo the Great reigned and from 440 until 460, and he thought he was exactly doing what was right, come into the church. Before him was Victor, and he was a rat too. We can say Francis also was a rat too. St. Augustine of Hippo, that's exactly who did it. Now remember, this new Pope Leo is from the order of the Augustinians. So he's got an influence from Leo, he's got an influence from the Augustinians, named after Augustine of Hippo. St. Augustine had an opportunity once, so says history, to become a great man and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine that? The man who murdered all these Christians had an opportunity. Didn't God say to Cain, if you would have done like your brother Abel, you also would be right, but you didn't do it? And Cain got wroth. St. Augustine had the opportunity once, he said, so says history, to become a great man filled with the Holy Ghost. He sat in the backyard there in Lyons, France, at that great school where Irenaeus had taught and St. Martin. So he was aware of the doctrine. He was aware of the message of Christianity. He sat in the schoolyard and the Holy Ghost come to him. But he refused to accept it. Then what did he do? What did he become? A twofold more child of hell than he was to begin with. He went right down to Hippo, Africa. So this is the pope Satan used to incarnate himself, thus becoming Satan's Eden to its climax. I'm talking about this modern day man. So let's see what else Brother Branham says about the Council of Churches uniting under this pope and then bringing on the squeeze. I must continue on in evangelism, and friends of mine, keep still and just keep moving on, for the hour is approaching swiftly, see, that when something is going to be done. Then Brother Brown tells us how the third pole will come fully into use. He says, but it's going to be used. Now, we want to know who's going to use it. And everyone knows that for a certain, as the first was used, so has the second been identified. And if you think real closely, you are spiritual, as the Bible said. Here's to him who has wisdom. The third is properly identified. See, we know where it is, so the third pole is here. Now, at this point, I would have gone in and shown you the different ways that it was properly identified. There's actually five ways, but we'll go into that next week. It's so sacred, I mustn't say much about it, as he told me in the beginning. Said, this, say nothing of it. You remember that years ago, it speaks for itself, see? I've tried to explain to others, and I made the mistake. This will be the thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me, this will be the thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going home. Now, for the next two sermons, we'll look at those things which Brother Ram said the third pole has already been identified with. Because first we see in Moses, Exodus 14, the first sign was a staff turning into a snake. The second sign was in his hand. You'll remember leprosy. And the third sign he spoke, you know, it's interesting. It was leprosy in Moses' hand. We pull it up. What happened to Brother Bram's hand? Things ran all over his hand, right? The second sign was in his hand. The third sign, he spoke the word. And they moved forward. Notice it was to the totally lost Pharaoh and his followers, but it was for the elect. Isn't that beautiful? You see the parallel today. I believe it's going to be used in the tent. I'll just give you a hint, okay? So, from his sermon, Souls in Prison, Brother Bram said Noah had three poles. His third pole was to the lost after the doors were shut, for God let him set right there where no one could enter in or go out. It was to the totally lost. They perished. They knocked on the door, tried to get in, tried to climb on top of the ark, tried to do everything they could. And when the waters raised up and the waves came and just shook the people off, guess what? It was death, wasn't it? Life to those who were in the ark and death to everyone else. You see, Leo the lion, you see, the supreme judge as supreme judge, and he's married to the bride, he's not going to condemn the bride. That's a good thing to know. But he's going to condemn everyone else. All right. Now, from his sermon, Souls in Prison, he said, in the days of Lot, the first pole to the righteous Lot, second pole to messengers in Sodom, third pole was he, what kind of a ministry did he have? So what was the third pole then? They died. They were bombed. Brimstone and whatever. Third pole, we think of it all as just, you know, because that's for us. But it's to the world. It's going to leave them nothing. Third pole was what? What kind of a ministry did he have? He set the elected and told them what was happening behind them. He told the elect what's happening. He's telling the elect now what's happening. He told us, the elect, in 60 through 40 through 60, he told us, the elect, what is happening now. I'm so thankful. Now from Souls in Prison now, he said, and notice when the third pole of his ministry come, the first was healing. The second was rebuking their organizations and prophesying what they had done, what they were, and what was coming. What is, what will come, what is, and will come. That's what he done. Is that right? But his third pole was when he preached to the lost that couldn't be saved no more. They were down there where them big eyes was painted. Huh. You see the snake and his big eyes? You see the Vatican and the big eyes here and there? You see his mouth? You see the serpent's mouth? Preach to the souls in hell that did not accept mercy, but were eternally separated from the presence of God. Yet they had to recognize what he was because God made him there. Wonder if his ministry climbs out the same way in the last days. Well, we're looking at it right here. The big eyes, okay? Now, last week we showed you that there would be a pope out of the United States. And that's what Brother Ram said. He never told us his name, and I said that is not important, and his name is not important. But what is important is that he told us he will come out of the United States, but what is important now is the name he as pope chose, because it signifies the spirit under which he will rule. So, see, he wasn't this way before, but he will be when he's anointed under that name. So a few days later, when they elected this man from the United States, I think it was what, Tuesday, was it? Yeah, Tuesday. Remember, Brother Branham told us that there is a spirit associated with your name and the name of your child, okay? From events made clear by prophecy. You see, it started, the Pope thing started on the Monday, which was the 7th. Then on Tuesday, Monday they had black smoke. Then Tuesday they had the white smoke, okay? Now remember, Brother Branham told us there is a spirit associated with what your name is and what you name your child. For modern events made clear by prophecy, he said, that's the reason I say don't ever call your child Ricky or Elvis or something like that. Elvis means cat. Ricky's a rat. Well, wasn't Leo and Victor rats? Okay. Now hold that thought, because Brother Branham says the Pope before Leo the First was a rat. Now Christianity and Leo himself is a rat. Now Christianity versus idolatry. He says Pope Leo the Great reigned from 440 until 461, and he thought he was exactly doing what was right. Come into the church. Before him was Victor, and he was a rat. Two, also. Okay. So when he says Victor as a rat too, that includes Leo as well. And just let's read on. And he come in there, and now he put the Christians to death and everything. Okay. So Leo put Christians to death. That is what the influence of that name had upon him. He could have been named Cain and would have been the same thing. All right. I believe that is a demonic influence. And according to an article I read last night, it said the name that a new pope chooses often reflects attributes they hope to embody in their papacy. It will indicate a certain spirit and direction and vision of the new pope, said Dennis Doyle, a theologian and professor emeritus of religious studies at the University of Dayton. So basically, he is saying the same thing that Brother Branham told us. There is a certain spirit and influence behind the name. Now, I can feel sorry for the man because he doesn't understand what he has gotten himself into. And he has no way of knowing what his future involves. So for the man, I can have a little compassion for him. But he will turn, just like Judas turned. And I'm afraid he most likely is as sincere as Judas was. But that won't help him none, like it didn't help Esau. For he was ordained for this purpose, or he wouldn't have been elected the first pope out of the United States. Now, Brother Branham continues, and then he started all this, putting it legalized murder. You know who it was? St. Augustine of Hippo. That's exactly who did it. St. Augustine had an opportunity once, so says history, to become a great man and filled with the Holy Ghost. He sat in the backyard of it there in Lyons, France. That's where the Irenaeus had taught, and that's where St. Martin had taught. So it was, this foundation was right. It was a Christian organization, a school. He sat in the schoolyard, and the Holy Ghost come to him, and he refused it. Then what did he become? Look what happened to Elvis Presley when he refused the Holy Ghost. Huh? All right, so you see what happened to these people. Then what did he become? A twofold more child of hell than he was to begin with. He sat right down to Hippo, Africa. There he set his school, and show me, okay. All right. So what do both the names Leo and Augustine have in common? They both killed Christians under the influence of that name. From God's gift always finds their place. Brother Branham says, now, and many times names are in the Bible, we don't notice it no more today. You've often heard me scorn this name of people calling their children Ricky. Now, Ricky is a horrible name, see? And you mustn't call them that. If you got a child named Ricky, for goodness sake, change it to something else. Ricky or Elvis or something like that. Ricky means a rat, see? And so you go. And what you call a person that impresses that. What's impressed? It's an influence. How are they influenced? It's a demon. A little lady the other day had a little boy out there called Ricky, and his name's Ricky James. Ricky, James Ricky. And because it was so popular, Ricky, they called him Ricky, and I said, change that name. So if there is something about a name, then the name has an influence upon your life. I call that a spirit influence. Every time you call that name, you are calling out that demon influencer. How many people have ever stood by yourself or with someone else, and there's a group over here, and somehow you hear your name? What does it do? It brings your attention. What are they talking about? They're talking about me. What does a demon do when you use his name? Huh? He says, okay, now it's time to go. Let's go to work. So what can we say about Leo? Brother Bram told us that Leo the First murdered Christians. He told us also that Augustine had a doctrine of killing Christians. Now remember, you are what is in your mind. That's why I told you people, look, just because you may be correct in your doctrine, don't say others who are not correct in their doctrine, don't treat them with that cancel culture, because that is murder. That is like saying, I have no use for them, I am right, they're wrong, so therefore I don't need them, therefore they're out. Treat them as a son and daughter of God. Let God determine the results. So remember, what you are is in your mind. The Bible tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you're thinking Leo, you're thinking Augustinian, you are. It also says, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. What's that? The actions coming out of the thinking. So what you are in the mind will be reflected in your speech and your actions. Augustine had a doctrine to persecute and kill everyone who disagreed with him. Why? Because he thought he was right. He told us he actually turned down the Holy Ghost, Brother Bram told us that, and then something happened to him. So when Cain turned down Abel's revelation of the way back to God, and remember, it says Cain talked with Abel, his brother, in the field. And then Cain rose up and slew him. After they had spoken, I believe Cain was saying, why was my religious observation, my sacrifice, why was it rejected? And Abel said, mine was accepted because it's by the blood. It was a mixing of the blood of a son of God with the serpent that brought you. And I'm sure that made him rile up and get mad, and so he killed him. So when Cain turned down Abel's revelation of the way back to God, what did he do? He murdered his brother Abel. Same spirit will do the same thing. When you say, well, that's right, so lesser something, don't never call one of your children that. If it is, change it right quick, people. Don't you never. If you believe me to be God's servant, don't tack that name on that poor child. See? No, sir, give him another name besides that. My, I oughtn't to have got off on that, because I'm off on my subject, but I said it and it's all over. And I know you do. You don't know where you say it. Now, another thing that just come to my mind, but I'll say it anyway, because I read it last night. This professor emeritus from Dayton, he said about the name, they consider when they choose another name as a new birth. Huh? That's their form of a new birth. What's a new birth? Another life entering you. He's now anointed to Leo, the devil Leo, okay? Now I'm going to show you how important that name is. You'll have to follow me through these quotes. So Brother Bram said, from God's only provided place of worship, he built the Lutheran message and they denominated it. It was growing the footstool. Then he growed up into the leg part, a Methodist and so forth. That's where he built his church upon his word. Now, he's not all foot or all thigh. He's a body. And now is the capping part. Did you notice in the pyramid, which I don't preach a pyramid religion now, but the first Bible ever was wrote in the sky in the zodiac. Did you notice? It starts off with the Virgin, the first figure in the zodiac. The last figure is Leo the lion. Why would a virgin represent the first coming? And then the lion represents the last coming. There's something about the name. He comes by the virgin, he comes next as a lion of the tribe of Judah. Just before that, a cancer age. Huh? What's cancer? Death. A cancer age, a crossfish. All the rest of the ages. If we had time to go through it, which we have at the tabernacle. So we are now living in the cancer age, the age of death. You see how everything ties together so perfectly? From Future Home, he says, God's first Bible was in the skies of Zodiac. It starts off and runs every age. The first beginning of the Zodiac is the Virgin. That comes, that's how he come. The last figure in the Zodiac is Leo the Lion, the second coming. Just before there is the crossfishes, which is the cancer age that we're living in now. We're living in the cancer age, the age of death. There was a pyramid after that, Enoch, which testifies exactly. We wouldn't have time to go into it, but someday, by God's help, I'll show you. Just exactly draws a dimension of the hour that we're living in. See, notice, but this geographical message, now that we have, whose dimensions are the same, doesn't necessarily mean that there has to be a cube. Notice, this would answer Enoch's sign in Egypt, okay? Then he goes on, or we go on. Now notice, he said, we are now in the cancer age. What is cancer? It is death. So then, what does that have to do with him returning as Leo for a second coming? The lion is king, but he is also is the greatest killer in the jungle. And the second coming is death to all who remain here on earth, for those whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life since the foundation of the world, and even those who have shed their own blood during the tribulation period, it will also be death to them. All will be slain by the coming of Leo, whether in the physical by Leo, the papacy, or Leo the lion. And the physical types the spiritual, just like the last trump is in office at this time. Did you know that? And the last trump of God, which is the change of the body and catching away. There's a parallel. Natural types of spiritual. Oh boy, brother, we're living in, everything is so perfect for this age. You know, how in the world did a man who so despised get elected president? Because God wanted him there? All right. Paradox. I believe God wrote three Bibles. He wrote one in the skies, one in the zodiac. Which is the zodiac? Everybody knows that. Job spoke of it. What? Look at the zodiac. It starts off with the Virgin. It ends up with Leo the Lion. That's how he come. First was the Virgin. His next coming will be Leo the Lion. See, coming as a lion of the tribe of Judah. All of them, the crossfishes and what we're in now, the cancer age and everything, it all speaks. But forget it. See? That ain't your Bible. The cancer age ain't for you. The Leo the Lion, the second coming, the death that goes with it ain't for you because you are part of him. That ain't your Bible. Then the pyramids, exactly how they were drawn. The headstone was rejected. Still, that's not your Bible. Then God wrote it on words. So he's telling you that it's not for you. He's already here, and it is life. When he leaves and takes us who have his life, his very life, there remains only death, and that is not for you who are filled with his life. Now, I ought to be hearing a lot of amens and relief. So let's look at the influence of this name Leo. We already know he was a murderer. So what effect had his name on others? Well, on January 3rd, 1521, another pope named Pope Leo the X, and you know, he was known for his being a pedophile, raping little girls. That's what Leo the X is known for. But he issues the papal bull, Decret Roman Pontificum, which excommunicates Martin Luther. Oh, so we have the second and third, you know, Irenaeus and Martin. Now we have another messenger involved, that's Martin Luther. And of course, Paul was put to death by Nero when he was emperor, which the popes are emperors. So that's another messenger, that's four now. And now we have the fifth, which is William Branham. I'd like to look at Wesley and the other one to see if there's anything there. But on January 3rd, 1521, another pope named Pope Leo the X. What's the 10th mean? Anybody tell me? You all know these. I've taught you all these things. Huh? Remember, it's the end of a what?
Finish.
Okay, yeah, finish. It's the end of a cycle. It's the beginning of a new Pope Leo the X. Issues a papal bull, excommunicates Martin Luther from the Catholic Church. So he rejected the light of that age because he had to reject it in order to excommunicate, right? He didn't excommunicate because he just said, well, I don't like that guy. He excommunicated because Martin Luther put up the 95 Theses, which point by point showed where the Catholic Church was off. And 2 weeks later, he gets excommunicated. Huh. So he rejected the light of that age. Now remember, Augustine had rejected the light of both Irenaeus and Martin. Martin Luther, the chief catalyst of Protestantism, was a professor of biblical interpretation at the University of Wittenberg in Germany when he drew up the 95 Theses condemning the Catholic Church for its corrupt practice of self-indulgence or the forgiveness of sins. I've got another thing I should share with you. So Martin Luther makes a statement. He says, the Pope alone can interpret scriptures and absolve wrongdoing, just as a donkey alone can play the pipes. You sarcastic. He had a lot of... You should see some of his cartoons. They're almost vulgar. I won't get into them today, but... He followed up the revolutionary work with equally controversial and groundbreaking theological works, and his fiery words set off religious reformation all across Europe. But in January 1521, Pope Leo the X excommunicated Luther. Now, he was Leo the X. The 10th is the end of a cycle, the beginning of a new. So 3 months after Luther posted his thesis showing the Catholic Church was wrong, just like Cain did to Abel, Luther was called to defend his beliefs before the Holy Roman Church, or Emperor Charles V, at the Diet of Worms, where he was famously defiant. For his refusal to recant his writings, the emperor declared him an outlaw and a heretic. Luther was protected by powerful German princes, however, and by his death in 1546, the course of Western civilization had been significantly altered. Then we have another pope, Leo the 13th. He influenced the Mariology of the Catholic Church and promoted both the rosary and the scapular. You know what a scapular is? I had one when I was a kid because I was a dumb Catholic. You're taught that if you wear a scapular, it has a bone or a hair or a fingernail pop, you know, something from a saint in between two pieces of cloth, and that'll get you to heaven. Yeah, that's how dumb Catholics are. You know, if I had, just like the New Agers, you know, if I wear this whatever, it's gonna do something for me. Upon his election, he immediately sought to revive Thomism. Now see, both the Mariology, the scapula, it's all based on paganism, okay? Just get a hold of Hyssop's Two Babylons and you'll see it. But upon his election, he immediately sought to revive Thomism, the theological system of Augustine of Hippo. You see how this Leo is tied to Augustine as well? And Thomas Aquinas, wishing to make it the official political, theological, and philosophical foundation of the Catholic Church. You see how politics and religion are married together? So what of Leo XIV, the present pope? In Genesis 1:11, we read, every seed must come forth after his nature. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at this picture, I don't see someone who's I want to be friends with. It looks very unbecoming. I don't mean to be cruel. So what can we expect when we have seen that names have an influence? We also know this one becomes the manifestation of Satan when the Holy Spirit leaves with the bride that I will show you in the scripture and from words of the prophet. So we will have to keep a vigilant watch for what we know. Remember, the evil one does not incarnate until we are gone. I can be so thankful for that I don't have to put up with the antics of his tribulation. I'm gone. I don't have any part to do with it. Now, 2 Thessalonians tells us what will happen. And I'd like to read it from the Weiss translation because it is so perfect. When you hear the prophet's words, it's just perfect. Okay, so Weiss says from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, now I am requesting you, brethren, that's all of us, with regard to the coming and personal presence. In other words, that word coming is parousia. In regards to the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ, even our being assembled together to him. Not to become unsettled. The source of this unsettled state being your minds. Neither be thrown into confusion either by a spirit. Now what happened to 73% of the world's population, almost 5.5 billion people in the world who took the jab. I probably shouldn't say that because we'll probably get cut off YouTube again. But I don't care. Who took the thing, as Obama or Biden would say. What happens to them? Their DNA has been changed. It's been altered. Not to become unsettled, the source of this unsettled state of your minds, neither be thrown into confusion like the media would have you do, neither by a spirit, which is a believer in the Christian assembly, claiming the authority of divine revelation and claiming to give the saints a word from God, or through a word received personally as from us, or through a letter falsely alleged to be written by us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come and is now present. In other words, someone come quoting the prophet, claims to be a brother, they creep in, as it says in 2 Peter, they creep in alongside of true doctrine and bring destructive heresy. Don't be alarmed. Let them be. Or through a word received personally as from us, as though the falsely alleges to be written by us, the effect that the day of the Lord is come and now is present. They're all teaching. Listen, there are people in this message teaching that the Lord has already come, that we are now waiting for the third coming, that we're in the millennium. Can you imagine that? Where does it say that the lamb shall lie down with the lion in the millennium? And yet people are killing one another for Nikes? Tennis shoes? If they would, it shows they're insane to believe such things. Now the King James calls it a falling away must come first, which is the apostasy, which we've already seen, and we've already gone through that, the apostasy. You know, the believe the sign guys? And the NIV calls it the rebellion against truth. In other words, the rebellion or apostasy occurs. The Amplified Version says, let no one in any way deceive or entrap you. Now, the use of the word entrap is interesting because it suggests you are willingly walk into it like a bird walks into a trap. You pull the string and the box comes down. You didn't force the bird into the trap. He came of his own will, just like Eve came of her own will. So the Weiss translation is very fitting here when it speaks of ministers who appear to be believers take the very word you believe and twist it or say something different. For the day will not come. Now listen. So we're already looking at these false brethren coming in and entrapping you with words that, you know, you say, well, he's preaching what I believe. I mean, he's saying words that I believe and this and that, so I must be right. But you're not leery of the string and the rope and everything else involved. So Weiss has already said about this falling away. So let's continue with Weiss. Do not begin to allow anyone to lead you astray in any way. Television, schooling, medicine, whatever. Okay? Okay. And I believe this church is pretty sharp on that. Okay, so that is the falling away or the apostasy. Then he says, because the day will not come except the aforementioned departure of the church to heaven comes first, and the man of lawlessness is disclosed in his true identity, the son of perdition, who sets himself in opposition to and exalts himself above everyone and everything that is called God or that is an object of worship. So here he's talking about two falling away. Actually, the bride going up and the falling away of the rest. Life for some, death for others. So that he sets himself in the inner sanctuary of God, proclaiming to be deity, the vicar of Jesus. Do you not remember that while I was still with you and I kept on telling you these things, and now you know with a positive assurance that which, namely, the departure of the church, the saints being assembled together to the Lord, is preventing his being disclosed. So as long as we are here, he will not be disclosed, except for we know, because we've been taught by a vindicated prophet. As to his true identity, in his strategic appointed time, for the mystery of the aforementioned lawlessness is now operating. So it's already operating. You're already aware, you have the word, the understanding, they shall know in the last days, the elect. We've been taught, God came down with a shout, he's taught us all. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who is holding the lawlessness down, will do so until he goes out from the midst of humanity. Then what happens? Chaos. That's all that's left is chaos. When mercy is spurned, what's left? Chaos. So he is Antichrist already, but Satan cannot incarnate him until the Holy Spirit, who is in our midst now, takes flight and brings his bride with him. Then what happens? He goes from the false prophet to the beast. There you go. Then chaos is all that remains, and Satan incarnates him, his man of sin, which sin is unbelief. So from the seventh seal, Brother Bram says, that question they asked him, what will be the sign of the end of the world? When you see those Jews, now remember, when we see those other things taking place, you know what is to take place. All right, we've seen them all. Now when you see these Jews talking to Jesus, now watch, what company is he talking to? Gentiles, no, Jews. See, now, he said, you'd be hated of all nations for my sake. Is that happening? Exactly. And so forth. Now, when he said, you see the Jews begin to put forth their buds over yonder, when that Israel begins to turn back, getting into her country, when she gets there, the church is ready to rapture. And there's only 3.5 years left until the end of the old world. And she goes out into what? Chaos. And in comes a millennium to the new earth, set even at the door. Wow, isn't it getting better? All right. I love it because God's showing mercy to us. Now, question and answers. And the church age ends, ending, and has blacked out. The Bible, the bride is called, We have already entered into the tribulation period? No. I wish that I could just have more time on that. See, the bride, when she's taken from the church, then the church age will cease. Laodicea goes into chaos. The bride goes into glory. And the tribulation period sets in upon the sleeping virgin for 3.5 years while Israel is getting its prophecy. Then tribulation sets in upon Israel, and then comes the battle of Armageddon, which destroys all things. Then the bride returns back with the groom for 1,000 years, a millennium reign. After that comes the white throne judgment. And after that comes a new heaven and new earth and the new city coming down from God out of heaven. Eternity and time blends together. It's not blending together now. Blends together then. You see, I've told you about the pre-resurrection ministry of Christ and the post-resurrection ministry of Christ. And there's a pre-resurrection ministry of William Branham, and there's a post-resurrection. So when he says Revelation 10 is now and yet, then in another quote he says, well, see, Revelation 10 is to the Jews, because that's the second coming. Then we realize the second coming takes us up, but then it goes to the Jews. You see that? And then shall the lawless one be disclosed, and in his true identity, whom the Lord shall slay with the breath of his mouth, and render inoperative or useless by the sudden appearing of his personal presence. So Christ's appearing, his parousia, renders the dealings of Satan useless. It has no effect on you. Useless. All right? It's like some car salesman trying to sell you a jalopy. Okay, so the incarnation and the phaneru, which is the identifying in his true character of Satan, the man of sin, which is unbelief, is withheld by God as long as we are here. Amen. Then once we are gone, Satan incarnates the man of sin. Sin is unbelief. Thus revealing Satan's parousia, presence is here. So there's two parousias. One, God saves us by sanctification of the word. The other, Satan, becomes enthroned on his Satan's Eden. Okay? Thus, revealing Satan's parousia, presence is here. Or Satan incarnates in his satanic Eden. And coming in the coming and presence of whom? The man of lawlessness is according to the operation of Satan in the sphere of miracles demonstrating power and attesting miracles. And miracles of startling, imposing, amazement, awakening character which will deceive. It's Pentecostal bait. Oh, look at the Pope is doing what we're doing. Yeah, so did Janus try to do what Moses did. So the whole purpose of God allowing Satan's man to do the miraculous is for one purpose only, and that is to deceive. Period. And of course, 72.8% of the world has already shown themselves to be gullible and did what the government, along with the media, wanted them to do to take the JAB, okay? So Weiss continues, and whose coming in presence, parousia, is in the sphere of every kind of wicked deception geared to the gullibility, and we've shown three-quarters of the world is already gullible. They took the JAB, all right, and they got their mRNA changed. Their DNA changed. They said, well, Brother Branham had a vaccine. He took a vaccine. That was a vaccine. This is not a vaccine. If you don't know the difference, go back to school. The gullibility of those who are perishing, this gullibility being caused by the fact that they did not accept the love for the truth to the end that they might be saved. Wow. And because of this. Now, I hope this sermon is helping you to see today and where you're sitting at. It's beautiful. And because of this, God sends them a deluding influence resulting in their believing the lie. We says the lie. King James says a lie, but Brother Brown tells us it was the lie. In order that they all might be judged who did not believe the truth but took delight in wickedness. What's wickedness? The Bible says because Cain was that wicked one. Because what? he turned down the revelation. Now, Brother Branham said in the first seal, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Deceivers, you see, deceiving the people off into something." See, only he, God, that letteth will let until he, the church, Christ the bride, be taken out of the way. Didn't we just say the same thing we read? Now, Brother Branham's saying the same thing. He didn't even read Weiss because Weiss didn't come around till after. All right? "And then shall the wicked one be revealed at the breaking of the seal at this time." Paul said, not in my time, but in the time when he'll be revealed. See, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. That's the word. We're going to get to that after a while. That's a shout, okay? The spirit of his mouth. Now watch what that is. "And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan." So he has a coming, Christ, the parousia. That word coming is parousia. And he has a coming, the word is parousia. Okay? And that word coming in the Greek is the word parousia. Him, a man whose working is after the working of Satan will, with all power and signs and lying wonders. What's a lying wonder? It's something that's wrong. It's not right, according to the word. See, and with all deceivableness of unrightwiseness, deceiving people by unrightwiseness, and if righteousness is being or having the right word, it's right, then unrighteousness comes by having a wrong word. "In them that perish, not this bride, in them that's looking for such a thing, because they receive not the love of the truth, and Christ is the truth, and Christ is the word, but they'd rather have a creed. That they all might be saved, or that they might be saved, and for this cause God has sent them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Now, it should be translated there, as I looked in the lexicon, the lie. Not a lie, the lie. Same one he told Eve. What did they tell you when they were going to give that thing? "Take it and you'll live." Isn't that what the serpent said to Eve? "Take this fruit and you shall live." Same thing, the lie. All right. "That they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now back to the weeds. But as for God, as for us, we have a sense of moral obligation to be giving thanks to God always concerning you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you out from the rest of mankind. You're sitting here this morning because you've been chosen out of the rest of the people in this area of mankind, and those watching from your area too. "For salvation," excuse me, "she chose you out from the rest of mankind for salvation, this choice being within the sphere of the setting apart work of the Spirit and belief of the truth, into which the setting apart work of the Holy Spirit and the belief of the truth, also he summoned you through our good news and resulting in your acquisition of the glory," the doxa, the mind, the opinion, value, assessment, "of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, he constantly be constantly standing firm and be holding fast to the teaching which were delivered to you and be passed on to others, which you were taught either orally or through our letter." Now, what did our prophet teach us about this? First, from the first seal, notice when Nicolaitis, see, Antichrist finally, he's incarnate in a man, then he's crowned. When he starts off as a Nicolaitan spirit in the church, he's a spirit. You can't crown a spirit. But 300 years later, he became a pope. And then they crowned him, and he had no crown to start with, but he got a crown later, see, when that spirit become incarnate. See, he become a man. So this changing of the white horse to the red, it become a crowned incarnate with killing of Christians. And when did this take place? It came under Leo and then Augustine, made it a church doctrine after you rejected the Holy Spirit, which came by the righteous, virtuous teaching of the second church age messengers and the third, Irenaeus and then Martin. Then we saw again that name Leo the 10th, and 10 is the end of a cycle, beginning of a new. And he rejected the fifth messenger, church age messenger, and his message, and excommunicated, he canceled culture at him, and tried to kill Martin Luther. So these men struck out against God's message. The first was Cain murdering Abel. Then Nero against Paul's message. But he was an emperor, not a pope. Moses. What happened with Moses? He was tried, the Pharaoh tried to cancel culture Moses. He knew his message and turned it down and tried to cancel him out. So don't think this guy doesn't know the message. I've asked the brothers in northern Peru, I've got several brothers who are constantly come to our website. We even support them. And I've asked them to let me know what if this guy has ever come across the message, because I believe he has. I believe he has, just like all five of the others. And he's a sixth, which is a number of men. Then messenger two and three, Irenaeus and Martin and Augustine rejected. Then fifth, Leo rejected Luther's message. And you can count on the pattern not changing with this Leo. I'll call him Leo the last. So the first and the last will be the same. You see the parallel? I'm sure this message has come across his path as well. I would like the brothers, as I said, in South America to investigate any evidence that Robert Prevost, a.k.a. Leo the last, heard about this message. Now, Brother Brown continues, Nicolaitan doctrine become a man, then they could crown it. They couldn't do it because he was just a doctor in glory. Notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now, in the form of the Holy Ghost, so it's parousia, when he becomes incarnate to us, what does that happen at the second coming? To us in the person of Jesus Christ, when that happens, we'll crown him King of Kings, you see? So again, Brother Bram telling us how it's going to happen. And when does that happen? When Christ Jesus takes us out of here. Again, Brother Bram said from the first seal, only he, God, that letteth will let until he, the church, Christ the bride, be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked one be revealed at the breaking of the seal at his time. Notice, nobody knows the time, but he does. All right. Well, from the seals, he said, first seal, oh, let's just read a scripture. You all like to put down some of the scriptures. Let's take 2 Thessalonians just a minute. And look here just a minute. It's such a beautiful thing here, picture here. I like it. And let's see. Yes, 2 Thessalonians, and I want the second chapter, the second 2 Thessalonians, and the seventh verse. Let's see, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7. I think that's right. Now, I was writing down, quivering, shaking. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already happening. It's already manifested to you and I, revealed to us, unveiled to us, but not to the world. Only he who letteth will let. Okay, who's allowing this to happen? God. Until he be taken out of the way. Until when? When God leaves the earth. Who? He that letteth. See, the mystery of iniquity way back in that very first age here. Here's Paul writing saying, the mystery of iniquity, what is iniquity? Iniquity is something that you know you ought not to do and you do it anyhow. And Paul said, there's such in the earth today, workers of iniquity. From the second seal, Brother Brown said, these people who think that the Jews are the Antichrist, they are certainly a million miles off the line. Don't you never think the Jews are an Antichrist. Their eyes are blinded purposely that it might have a way to get in, giving us a time of repentance. But the Antichrist is a Gentile. Certainly it is an impersonator of the truth, anti, against. Now, this great Superman, now, oh, how he became a great man. And then finally was throned. Then after throned, he was crowned. And now he, and after that, he was worshipped in the stead of God. Aren't the masses of humanity worshipping this man today? Now look, before that ever come, I want to ask you something. Who was that? That was that on Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, that said that man would come. What did the man look down through the ages and see it? He was God's prophet, certainly. From the second seal, the Bible said he would be sitting in the temple of God, worship like God. When that little doctrine become incarnate, it become a vicar instead of the Son of God. See? Oh my. That awful deceiving spirit. If you want to read that, read 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. And you can see where's that. And of course, you will remember Satan is the head of all political power of every nation. How many knows that? You want to put it down, Matthew 4 and 8. Satan took Jesus up to the high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world that ever was and ever would be in a moment of time, time traveled. Talk about a person. He said, I'll give them to you if you'll worship me. And Jesus knew that he was going to fall heir to all of them. From the first seal, he said, God has promised it. When the word is refused, then they turn to their desires. Let's read Thessalonians again. I want you to watch here with me a minute. Say, well, he read it a while ago. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 to 11. It said that they would, in turning down, rejecting the truth, they would be given over to a reprobate mind and would believe a lie and would be damned by it. Now, that's the Holy Spirit said. Now, isn't that a desire of the church today? You try to tell people that they have to do this, that, or the other. They'll let you know right quick that they are a Methodist or a Presbyterian or whatever more. They don't have to paddle your boat. See, certainly they want to. And God said, if they want to, I'll just let them have it. And I'll actually make them believe that that's the truth because I'll give them a reprobate mind concerning the truth. From the Laodicean church age. Now, God says they are naked as well as blind. I cannot imagine anything as tragic as a man who is blind and naked and doesn't even know it. It's like the king who thought he had clothes on and he was naked. He was blind to his own condition. There's only one answer. He is out of his mind. He is already deep in oblivion. His faculties are gone. Spiritual amnesia has set in. What else can it mean? When all the churches in the nation have little flags showing the LGBT that everybody's welcome, they're blind and naked and don't even know it. Can it mean that the Holy Spirit has taken his leave of this day, church? When you see people with purple hair streaming down, it looks like they fell into a bucket of paint. And they're representatives in Congress? From Connecticut? Yeah. Can it mean the Holy Spirit has taken his leave of this last church age? Can it mean that men have put God out of their minds so much to the extent that it's happening even as stated in Romans 1:28, and even as they did not retain a God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient? So all of LGBT, QXYZ and whatever, all of homosexuality, all sodomite conditions, it's because they've rejected the truth. It surely appears that something like that has happened. Here are the people who say that they are of God and they know God and have his Holy Spirit, and yet they are naked and blind and don't even know it. They are already deceived. They have the wrong spirit. The elect cannot be deceived, but it is evident that these others are. These are they who have become blind because they refuse the word of God. These are they who have stripped themselves naked by leaving God's care and protection and sought to build their own way of salvation, their own Tower of Babel by organization. Oh, how lovely and beautiful dressed they appear in their own eyes as they formed their general assemblies and their councils, etc. But now God is stripping it all away and they are naked, for these organizations have led them into the camp of Antichrist, into the field of tares, right up to their building and binding and burning. Objects of pity, indeed they are. Yes, pity them, warn them, beseech them, and still they go their way headlong to destruction, wrathfully turning away any and all attempts to save them as brands from the burning. Miserable indeed they are, yet they know it not, callous and beyond hope. They glory in what is actually their shame. defiant against the word, yet one day they shall be judged by it and pay the price of its awful indictments. From the first seal. Notice this rider is nothing but Satan's Superman, an incarnate devil. He's an educated genius. Now I hope you got your ears open. They was trying one of his children not long ago in a television cast to see if he wasn't smarter than the next one, man to run for the presidency. But however, he's got a lot of wisdom, so has Satan. He tries to sell it. He sold it to Eve, he sold it to us. We've been wanting a Superman, we got it, all right. The church world's wanting a Superman, they're going to get it. Just wait till the church goes up and Satan casts out. He'll incarnate. That's it. That's right. See, notice, just wait till the church goes up and Satan is cast out. Then he'll incarnate. That's right. They want somebody who can really do the job, and he will do it. And just look where they've chosen for a Satan to incarnate. He speaks five languages and can read another two languages. So he can communicate in seven languages in seven's completion. The new pope speaks multiple languages, including English, Spanish, Italian, French, and Portuguese. And he can read in Latin and German. What can I say? They wanted a Superman, they got him. And you know, he turned a deaf ear, a blind eye, when the priests in his country, in northern Peru, were doing things to the children that I cannot say from this pulpit. But you know what pedophilia is. One of his buddies from Michigan was a priest up there and got run out of the country in Michigan because he got caught. Where'd he go? Peru. Where did he go? He joined him in Peru. Didn't say anything about it. Covered it over. The man was able to escape America and go to Peru. And in their ignorance, because of language differences, they didn't know it. And this man covered it up. And I showed you a picture. I said, just look at that man's face. He's got a smile like a cat. They just caught a mouse. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you've given us these words today to say. No condemnation to what a man is, but when he yields himself to Satan, we condemn that very much. And so, Lord, we just pray that we all would not be arrogant in our approach, but we would be humble and realize that it's all been said. The prophet said it. Paul said it. The last prophet said it. 1 and 7. They both said the same thing. We read it today. And now, Father, we just ask you to keep that in our memory. Help us, Lord, to just keep our eyes on what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Because one day it's going to be very apparent that this World Council of Churches has gathered together. The squeeze will be on, and we'll be looking to get out of here. But we do know one thing for sure. We will get out of here before he is incarnate. And the evil that he's incarnated with transpires before us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.